Good morning. We're going to do a lesson today that's interesting. God's good intentions. The shaping of Joseph. In Genesis 50:18-21, his brothers then came and threw themselves down before him. "We are your slaves," they said. But Joseph said to them, "Don't be afraid. I'm in the place of God. You intended me harm, but God intended it for good, to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives. And so then, do not be afraid. I will provide for you and your children." And he reassured them and spoke kindly to them. How would you like for one of these ancient worthies to say all of that to you? And say, everything's going to be okay. In Genesis 30:22-24, then God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and enabled her to conceive. And she became pregnant and gave birth to a son and said, "God has taken away my disgrace." She named him Joseph and said, "May the Lord add to me another son." The scriptures are overflowing with stories of hundreds of men and women and their activity toward God. If you've read the Old Testament particularly, you will see that much, much more clear. In most of the stories, the presence of their dark side was revealed. I hate to tell you, but a whole lot of the people in the Bible didn't get it right. Does that shock you? Well, that's the Bible. It's got to be right. Can the people who were involved in the writing of some of that even be messed up some way? We're in good company. All of us make mistakes, some larger than the other. It would be safe to say that nearly every person mentioned in the Bible has his or her dark side. You believe that? Oh, no, that's the Bible. It's not the Bible that's the problem. It's the people in there that's the problem. Yes? The Bible's right. It's what we do with it. Well, let's see. Well, I don't believe all that. Well, let me help you with that. Noah got drunk. Boozer. And Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, all lied to save themselves and save face. Purity lied. Well, you can't tell those people in the Bible. They were in the Bible. I didn't write the book. Did you write the book? No. We're just reading it. Moses committed murder. David was guilty of adultery. How does that one strike you? Well, this is not a good lesson. Oh, yes, it is. You know why? Because this is what life is made out of right here. Solomon was steeped in idolatry for some time. Peter cussed people and lied. This is the apostle. John the Baptist doubted Jesus. That's just a few. I don't like this lesson so far. Do you know why it's important? This is reality. This is what's reality in the world, even from the biblical context. These are things that could be listed as long as your leg, because the Bible's overflowing with records of flawed, common, and important people who are mentioned in the context of the Bible. In today's text, we're going to be introduced again to a man named Joseph. Joseph was the 11th son of the great patriarch Jacob. The name Joseph means Jehovah has added. He lived 110 years. And in those 110 years, there was not one single charge of sin attributed to this man. He patiently endured trouble and trials, and there's no hint of him ever having a wavering faith. This is a good guy. Yet Joseph was a troubled man. He was troubled by evil, and it was especially so among his own family. He patiently endured trials and troubles, and the most of us probably wouldn't stand up to it. The really moving thing about all of this is there's no hint of him ever wavering in his faith. All of us in this room have faith of some level, yes or no. But boy, when you got one that just is, here's somebody whose faith never wavered, that's good. It was very obvious that he continued to keep his eyes steadily upon the Lord at all times, no matter whether it's trouble or not. It didn't seem to matter if he was at home or if he was rotting away in some prison. It wouldn't matter to him. And he never changed. How hard would that have been? Hard situations didn't seem to bother him, and they didn't take him down. Riches. This is the one that gets people a lot. Riches and power didn't appear to shake him. He didn't have any problem with that. You know what he had? He was like middle C on the music scale. Whatever his circumstances, he always made the best of what could be made out of things. Joseph was always standing ahead above everyone else because of his uniqueness as a man. What would we give to have that said of us? Here's the fact about Joseph of which you might find interesting. The scriptures give him the space of 14 chapters in the narrative. That just happens to be the very same number of chapters devoted to the great Abraham. But the more interesting part is that he gets 25% more verses dedicated to his life than did Abraham. That just makes you want to go, how do you do that? But unlike Abraham, Joseph is mentioned only four times in the New Testament, and that'll be in John 4:45, Acts 7:7-14, Hebrews 11:21-22, and Revelation 7:8, leaving us to comb the book of Genesis if we desire to mind the qualities of the hearts of the great servant God. There's some stuff in this lesson today that's going to be different for you. It's been said by some who study these kind of things that Joseph's life contained an excess of 100 areas where he pictures types of Jesus Christ, you know, where you look like him. From what we can see, he never wavered, he never complained, he never compromised his principles. God's hand can be clearly seen in the life of Joseph. The providence of God is shining forth in every moment of Joseph's life. It's clear, as stated in Romans 8:28, we know that in all things God works for the good of those who love Him, who have been called according to His purpose. And we're going to look at the life of Joseph and the theme, God intended it for good, in Genesis 50 and verse 20. Since we have many circumstances in our lives, it do us a good service to listen to the maturity and listen to the background of this maturity. So let's do some discovery. In Genesis 30, 22 to 24, then God remembered Rachel. He listened to her and enabled her to conceive. She became pregnant and gave birth to a son and said, God has taken away my disgrace. She named him Joseph and said, may the Lord add to me another son. In a world of dysfunctional homes, divorces, turmoil, absentee parents, child abuse, a host of evils, children are growing up today facing all kind of terrible dilemmas. You believe that's true? Joseph was thrown into a pit. He served as a slave in Potiphar's house. He spent extensive time in prison, and before he had stood in front of the Pharaoh as a prime minister of Egypt. He spent his years in a home marked overcome with sin, sadness, strife, and struggles. Have you ever just felt like your whole world's falling apart? You ever had that problem? It comes around pretty easy. Because of his history, most people would think that Joseph never had a chance to do anything good. Most of his brothers didn't turn out too well, as evident in the records. But God, in his providence and by his power, was able to overcome all the negatives in Joseph's life. Would God possibly do that with us? Set us back on a right course if we needed to be? Is it possible that God has washed families' mess up just to turn around in some happenstance and say, we got to do something better here? Joseph's family was a walking, talking controversy. That's not saying anything good right there. I want you to listen. We're looking for bringing this guy out to really do some good work. Jacob, his dad, fell in love with his cousin named Rachel and agreed to work for 7 years for her father, Laban, who was also Jacob's uncle. This is found in Genesis 29:18, and it was obvious that the family tree did not fork. When your family tree doesn't fork, everybody's in the same pile here. Laban had two daughters, Leah and Rachel. Leah was the oldest, but Rachel was the promised and the most attractive. On the evening of the wedding, they're going to get married. Old Uncle Laban tricked him, sent his oldest daughter, Leah, into Jacob's tent instead of Rachel. That's Genesis 29:23. Do you remember the TV show Peyton Place? That's where they got their ideas, evidently. Jacob spent his wedding night with Leah, and only the next morning discovers it was a trick. This is a bunch of people who are just not doing well. Jacob confronted Laban, who agreed to allow Jacob to have Rachel if she will work for him for 7 more years. Genesis 29:27-28. He didn't have to wait 7 years to marry Rachel. Actually, only 1 week. But he still had to work 7 more years. So Jacob has 2 young wives, Peyton Place here, 2 young wives who are sisters. trouble ahead. Leah gets pregnant not once, but four times. Gives Jacob four sons, Reuben, Simeon, Levi, Judah, and Rachel blows a gasket. This is making our homes look a whole lot better. The fear of every woman in that day was not to be able to have children. So Rachel takes matters into her own hands and gives Jacob her handmaid, Bilhah, to have children in her place in Genesis 30:1-4. Leah steps up, knowing that Rachel's not having any children, so she gives her handmaid, Zilpah, to Jacob to have children in her place. Man! Now, Zilpah has two sons, Gad and Asher. Is this Peyton Place to you? Does this sound like a wholesome family to you? Is it possible for people to have unwholesome things in their life and at some point God can rearrange stuff and make it work for the good? That's why you just don't throw people away. Now, old Jacob has 10 sons and a daughter, but his most loved wife, Rachel, is still childless. Just so you might begin to see it, there is an army in the making that will hate Joseph when and if he ever gets there. God in His providence hears Rachel's pleas for a son, and Joseph is born. Genesis 30:22-24. Joseph has arrived, but as you might know, with difficulty. His birth is a testimony in itself because God opened a barren womb with divine intervention to bring him into the world. You might want to know that in His sovereignty, God decided to send you and me in this world not as an accident, but as a testimony. Do you know that God put us in this? Old Jacob had watched the woman he loved suffer, and it had to be heartbreaking. The birth of this small child brought great joy and happiness until jealousy started. You got a family here, every one of them's probably wanting to kill the other guy or girl. You think so? Did people do that in those days? Joseph was the 11th son of Jacob. Reuben was Jacob's firstborn, and from all we can see, Joseph entered into life at a disadvantage. God knew what He was doing, however. You think God can do something really strange among really strange situations and make it come out right? You bet you can. God knew what He was doing. And like cream in the milk, Joseph rose up to the top of his family. Oh, he got an advance. Now look at your life and don't count the Lord out. He's in His finest hour here. God is doing what He does best. He can take any mess that you can find and turn it into something wonderful. Joseph's early years were like a minefield. How he survived the pain of all of those years, keeping his sanity and his integrity and keeping everything intact, I don't know how he did that. But I'll tell you, he was not doing it easily. We have a dad with kids by four different women living under the same roof. Now, when you start reading the Bible, I'm going to tell you, there's some stuff in there you just wouldn't believe. You're hearing it now. You're seeing it now. My question is, this whole mess with these people is a wreck that has already hit and still getting more hits. Can God fix that? This is not a nice family. While they traveled, word come that Jacob's brother Esau is on his way with many men to meet up with his family. Jacob fears Esau because of the way he had treated his brother 20 years ago. Does anybody ever have grudges 20 years in families? This is a hot one. He divides his flocks into three parts and uses it as a bribe to soften Esau's heart and keep him from killing him, basically. This is fun. This is Peyton Place. Remember that all this stuff could just turn Joseph sour. It probably could with us. Joseph's older sister, Diana, is raped by Shechem. His brothers, Simon and Levi, trick the men of the city and eventually kill them all. This is the people in the Bible. Deborah, Rebecca's nurse, dies, and an old Jacob does absolutely nothing to make things right before she died. Reuben, the oldest brother, commits incest with his father's concubine, Bilhah. And though Jacob knows about it, he does nothing as usual. Then Joseph's other grandfather, Isaac, dies and is buried. Joseph was a passive father who allowed his children to do anything they wanted to. But Joseph would not comply. He wanted the structure. How under God's heaven did he escape being like the others? How do you do that? Have you ever seen a really mixed up family? I mean, so twisted, it's just... you just don't know how to even begin to talk about it. Joseph lost his mom and was forced to move as a child, surrounded by rape, murder, incest, treachery, idolatry, jealousy, death, and hatred. This is this family. He had every reason in the world to turn out bad. But he's still there, still right there. Do you have bad memories like Joseph? I remember some. The foundation of their future turmoil was laid when Sarah gave her maid Hagar to Abraham to be his concubine. Does this sound like Peyton Place to you? When he goes back to his family, he's limping on one leg, and he tells them that he has a new name. He will no longer be called Jacob, which means trickster, by the way, deceiver, or heel grabber. His new name would be Israel. Things change in his father, and there had to be something young Joseph wouldn't forget. God calls Jacob to come back to Bethel, where he demands that they do away with all the false gods. He calls his family together to worship God alone. Jacob builds an altar, worships only the Lord, and beginning giving testimony of how he first met the Lord. Can you come out of a slush pit and come clean in the presence of God? This is what it's about. But I'll tell you this, if God clears your name, you are cleared for life. He's on your side. He's on my side. I don't know of a better thing to do in life than to hang out in that book, learning stuff to help ourselves as well as helping other people. If you didn't know anything about this lesson today, you heard some stuff. And that was just a little of it. Well, I'm going to tell you, God's on our side. God stepped in, and we got to be a part of that in all of that lineage. I love God. I want to be with Him forever. What about you? Thank you for being here today. And I hope this has been enlightening to some way, because I think it's wonderful stuff. And church said,
amen.
Amen.